So good morning once again to everyone. Welcome to our 9 o'clock English service. So for those who don't know me yet, I'm Brother Vicoy. I'm one of the elders of the church. And it's a privilege to stand before you today to once again handle the Word of the Lord. So before we study the Word of the Lord together today, why don't we all entrust to the Lord our hearts? Our dear God, thank you for this privilege to grow together, to learn together, and to study your word together. Lord, Holy Spirit, we submit to you our hearts. Apart from you, we will not be able to understand your truth. We need you, even as we study this passage today. Guide us. Bring conviction where conviction is needed. Bring us to true repentance where repentance is needed. And Lord, bring us to deeper praise to you, our God, as you reveal yourself to us today. I pray that you will anoint me today. Use me as your mouthpiece. Lord, I am not worthy. But Lord, I entrust this preaching to you. Be magnified, be glorified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, April 26, history was written. So what history was written last week? Last week, for the very first time, a marathon was finished under 2 hours. So it became the new world record. It was done by a certain runner, the runner on the screen, named Sebastian Sawe from Kenya. And marathon is one of the most difficult running events. So for those who are in the running era, you know this. This is one of the targets of runners. To be able to run a full marathon. It's a 42.195 kilometers. So if you don't know how long that is, start from our center, go up Bukaukan, go down Cannon Road until you reach the town proper of Sison, Pangasinan. That's how far 42 kilometers is. That's the full marathon. And I'm sure because there is now a new world record, and that sub 2 hours was already obtained. The running era will prevail more and more. And to give you an idea how one runner will prepare for a race or for a marathon. First, of course, he would choose the race that he will join. He will register. But you cannot just register the week before the race because you have to prepare for it. An ordinary runner would need at least 4 months of training to be able to complete a marathon. I'm a runner. I have never joined a full marathon yet. The longest race that I have joined is just the half marathon, the 21-kilometer run. And that's already very difficult. And an endurance run, like the full marathon, you really have to prepare. So after you have registered, you now start your training. You will have your regular runs. You will also make sure that your diet is well. Your sleep is always complete. Your body is always rested. So that when you will now be towing the starting line, you will be physically fit, and you will now be ready to run the race. And once you hear the gun start, you will now run. Run from GLCC to town proper of Sison, Pangasinan. That long. And you have to run and run and run. There will be difficult routes. There will be uphills. But you have to run. And what will be your goal as a runner? To be able to finish the race. That will be your focus, to be able to cross the finish line. And if you like to prepare for a race, on October, we will have a fun run for Guiding Light. Oh, plinag ko na ha, yung mga organizers ng fundraising natin. We will have a fun run for Guiding Light. So if you want to know or if you want to understand what I'm saying here, then you can prepare for that. Don't worry, we don't have a full marathon for our fun run. The longest is just 10 kilometers. Okay? But I'm not here to promote running. But you know, in the Bible frequently uses imagery or metaphors of athletes to illustrate the discipline, the focus, the endurance in the Christian life. There are so many passages, like you will find the Bible teaches or uses the imagery of a boxer, as seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible also uses the believer as a wrestler, 2 Timothy 4:7. The Bible also uses the rule-bound athlete, an athlete that obeys the rule, 2 Timothy 2:5. The Bible also uses an athlete who trains well, 1 Timothy 4:8. And also, what we will use today, the Bible uses a runner to be an imagery of enduring. Okay? And for today, our text will be Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. And I'll be reading from the ESV. It says here, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author, the founder, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And before we dive into our text, let us first see where our text is situated in the book of Hebrews. And for the book of Hebrews, so for the people at the back, if you cannot read the PowerPoint slides, it's okay. Anyway, I'll just be mentioning all the things that are written there. The PowerPoint slides are there just to guide us in our preaching today. So for the book of Hebrews, regarding the author, it's unknown. Well, many say that it was written by Paul, but some would say it was actually written by Apollos or by Barnabas. Barnabas, yes. And for the audience of this book, it was primarily written for the Jewish Christians. And what was their situation when this book was written? They were facing persecutions. They were being persecuted by the Roman authorities. They were being persecuted by the Jewish leaders. And they were being persecuted so that they would go back to their old traditions instead of believing in their newfound faith. So that was the struggle of the people. When this book of Hebrews was written, they were being forced to revert to their old faith, to their old religious beliefs. And the people pressuring them are the religious leaders, the Roman authorities, and the Jewish leaders. So if you will read through Hebrews 1 to 10, the writer now assures the Jewish believers that Christ is better than anyone else or even anything else. That Christ is better than the angels. That Christ is better than Moses. that Christ is better than the priest or even any sacrifice for sins. Thus, from chapter 1 to chapter 10, the author is giving emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate high priest and mediator of a better covenant. And in chapter 11, a very familiar chapter, which is called the Hall of Faith for the youth. You know this. You are studying Hebrews chapter 11 with Pastor Enns. And this chapter is a very powerful chapter in Hebrews because this chapter was designed so that these Jewish believers will be prevented from drifting back to the old system or even giving in to the persecutions. So Hebrews 11 was used to prove that faith has always been the defining character of God's people. That's why it's called the faith chapter or the hall of faith. Once again, Hebrews 11 was used to prove that faith has always been the defining character of God's people. That's why in chapter 11, you will see there 16 people from the Old Testament who were commended because of their faith, and there were some unnamed prophets and martyrs. Then we now come to our passage, chapter 12, verse 1. And it starts with the conjunction, therefore. So remember, in the original writings of the Bible, there are no chapter divisions. So in reality, chapter 12 is really part of chapter 11. It's a continuation of chapter 11. So the therefore there is now significant to mean that our text is directly related, directly connected to the Hall of Faith. And let's go back to verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So who are the great cloud of witnesses being mentioned in verse 1? The faithful Old Testament giants mentioned in chapter 11. So it was mentioned in verse 1 that we are, or the believers are surrounded by these witnesses. But this means that they are not literally standing in heaven watching the Jewish believers about their walk of faithfulness. Instead, it means that chapter 11 was given so that the lives of the people in chapter 11 will now be an inspiration for the Jewish believers to endure the persecutions that they are having. So that's the main idea there. The cloud of witnesses are given there to inspire and to challenge the Jewish believers. And while I was looking at that, I remember the situation that we have in Athletic Bowl. I don't know if you're familiar with the paintings on the wall of Athletic Bowl. The paintings there, you will find our athletes in the past. And I believe that the government of Baguio allowed those athletes to be painted on the walls of Athletic Bowl so that when athletes are training, every time they see those former athletes, they will be inspired, they will be challenged. So it's the same thing with what's happening here. Chapter 11 is being used to inspire the Jewish believers. Remember, they are being persecuted. They are being pressured to revert to their old religious beliefs. And the author now uses, this people were so faithful in their walk with God. And God commended each one of them with regard to their faith. So, because of that, We would now look at this section, and I would like to entitle this teaching, preaching this morning as Finish Strong. Finish Strong. And that is always the goal of runners. Remember the imagery. Let's not forget the imagery being used here. I also remember every time we will join a race, of course, we are not elite runners. I'm just a liit runner, not an elite runner. Many times before the start, what we say to our companions is, let's finish strong. We're not aiming to be at the podium, but we want to do our best. We want to finish strong. And the imagery of being a runner was used here because the author was exhorting the Jewish believers during that time to finish strong in their race. And what race are they joining? The race of faith. The race of faith or the race of sanctification. And that is a race every believer is part of. So when a believer receives the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he now receives salvation and sanctification will start. So once a believer, or once a person becomes a believer, he is now part of the race of faith, the race of sanctification. And from our text, let me divide the text into 4 points. So how will we finish strong? We will look at the 4 commands that we will find in our text: to lay aside every encumbrance, to run with endurance, to look to Jesus, and to consider Jesus. So let's now look at the commands one by one. Let's have the first command. The first command is seen in the second part of verse 1. Let's read it. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Again, don't forget the imagery being used here. The imagery of a runner. So a runner, before he runs, will make sure that there is nothing surrounding him to entangle him, that may cause him to stumble, that may cause him to slow down in his pace. He would always make sure that everything is ready, including his body. That's why training is required, because even in the training, if the runner thinks he has so many bilbils around the waist, those must be removed so that he will be able to run very light during the race. And laying aside, in some versions to read, in some versions to throw off, means to put away, to renounce, or to cast off. And if we will look at the tense of this verb, it is in the aorist tense, which means it's a completed action. Thus, if you will look at the imagery, before the race starts, the runner must have laid aside every encumbrance already. So the laying aside must not be done during the race. It must be done before the race. That's the tense of the verb there. And what must be put away? What must be renounced? 2 things were mentioned there. The author mentioned that lay aside the weight. That means any encumbrance, any hindrance, any obstacle, any burden. So if we will now look at the context of the passage. What's the situation of the Jewish believers? They were being pressured to go back to old religious beliefs. So, if we will look at their situation, one thing that may hinder their run of faith, their run of endurance, will now be the old religious beliefs that they have. So the author here was exhorting them that all your religious beliefs, you must lay them aside. That's the reason why you will find that from chapter 1 to chapter 10, the author gave that the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than anyone and anything else. So even their old religious beliefs will not match the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's one thing that they have to lay aside. Their old traditions, their legalism. And another thing that they have to lay aside is sin. Again, as a runner, what sin is being mentioned for the context of the imagery? You have to discipline yourself while you are preparing for the race. You have to eat healthy. You have to sleep well. You must not abuse your body. You must be careful even in your training. You must not overtrain. Because once you do things against those, you will harm your body. And for the context of the Jewish believers, what is now the sin that they must lay aside? Their unbelief. Their unbelief. Unbelief in what? That Jesus is greater than anything or anyone. Because if we believe anything or something other than God, then definitely that is unbelief in God. And any unbelief in God is sin. So that's what they need to lay aside, every weight and every sin. And there are some parallel passages given here, Matthew 16:24. So if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. So if you will remember, in one of my preachings, I use a passage in Luke, and we have the same context of denying self. And in that preaching, I have mentioned that what is the self being mentioned there? Anything that rules us. Anything that dictates our life. So the laying aside is also laying aside anything that rules the heart of the believer. Luke 21:34. Watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. Things that will pull us down. And 2 Timothy 2:4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his desire is to obey the master who enlisted him. So that's the first point, the first command, to lay aside every weight, every burden that surrounds or that clings closely. And the next command that we will find there is run with endurance. Run with endurance. And we will see this in the last part of verse 1. Let's go back to our text. Last part of verse 1. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let's stop there. Look at how that phrase started. Let us run. That means every Jewish believer was part of the run being mentioned by the author. Let us run. He did not mention there, some will be part of the run, some will just be spectators. No? Let us run. Everybody is part of the race. And if you will now compare the tense of that verb run to the laying aside is aorist. It's past tense. So before the race, the runner must have laid aside anything that will hinder his race. But when you look at the tense of the run, it's written in the present tense, meaning it's ongoing, it's continuing action. So the running will be continuous. Until when? Until the runner crosses the finish line. So unlike the laying aside, the runner must have laid aside everything already, but once the gun start is heard, he now runs continuously. He now runs continuously. That's why it's mentioned in the text that the runner will run with endurance. With endurance. Imagine the distance of the full marathon that I have mentioned to you. It's 42 kilometers. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's not a 200-meter dash. It's a run for endurance. I remember while I was watching one of the video clips of the marathon in Japan, at the very start, there was one runner in front, a beginner runner. And when he heard the gun start, he sprinted his way out of the starting line. I guess he did not compute that he joined a full marathon. So after 400 meters, he was already at the side vomiting. And obviously, he was not able to finish the race. But the race being used here as an imagery is an endurance race. It's not a sprint. Therefore, this race will need perseverance. It will need patience. It will need steadfastness. And the endurance word that was used here is also associated with bravery, which means this is endurance under fire. Endurance under fire. Why? Because the race is not easy. It's long. There will be difficult routes that you have to pass through, that you have to navigate, but you have to run continuously. You have to run under fire. And in that running also, we will see that, by the way, there are several passages parallel to the endurance there, James 1:12. So if you want to look at those verses later on, James 1:12, Romans 5:3-4, 2 Timothy 4:7. So those are parallel verses on endurance. And I like what one quotation that I have read in my study of this passage. This came from William Barclay. And regarding endurance, he said, "Endurance is the spirit which can bear things, not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope." Not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. In other words, endurance is submission and not resignation. And I think Pastor Robbie mentioned this several times already in this pulpit, that our walk of faith, our life as a believer, is a life of submission to the Lord and not resignation. Resignation, sige na nga, do I have a choice? But submission is joyfully the believer surrendering his life to the will of the Father. Another quote that I have encountered is given by a certain George Matheson. This guy was blind, and he said in his prayer, "Help me accept your will, not with dumb resignation, but with holy joy. Not with the absence of murmur, but with a song of praise." Beautiful prayer. Again, endurance is not resignation, it is submission. And what type of race will we run? It is the race that is set before us. Go back to the text, the last part. The race that is set before us. Did you know that the original word for race used there is the word agon? Where we get the word? Agony. The word race there comes from the word agon, where we get the word agony. Because going back to the imagery, an endurance race will expose the heart of the runner. Believe me, you cannot cheat the race. It will expose whether you have trained well. Your teammates, your family members, you may say to them, "I have trained well for this race. I have prepared for this," because every day you go out very early in the morning. You are not saying all the trainings that you are doing, but sometimes you are skipping your trainings, even to your coach. But when the race comes, you cannot cheat yourself, because the race will show what is inside you. If you did not train well, you will not finish strong. You may not even finish at all if you will not train well. But that's the race that we have, the race of endurance. And this race is set before us. As I have mentioned earlier, this is what happens after salvation. The race which represents the believer's sanctification is now set. So we have the race of faith, and the believers, the Jewish believers in this context, are all part of the race of faith. And the race is already set before the Jewish believers. And in God's sovereignty, God has already set the path for His children's race. And in His providence, He will not abandon them, but will guide them toward His intended goal. Because if you will look at the imagery, if a believer gets saved, he is now part of that race of faith, that race of sanctification. It means that's a calling from God. And if that's a calling from God, that is His exercise of sovereignty over the life of the believer. And if that is the design of God for the life of the believer, then God will also providentially provide all the needs along the way. Remember, the race is a race of endurance. Race coming from the word agon, where we get the word agony. It will not be easy. There will be times where trials and testings will come, but God will provide the way out. Philippians 1:6, our worship leader read this earlier, "Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." What a beautiful promise. That once we are now running that race of faith, Philippians 1:6 assures us that we can be confident that He who began a good work in us, the God who saved us, the God who allowed us to join the race of faith, will carry us through the race, will complete the race until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third point in our text is look to Jesus. Let's go back to our text, verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the third point, the third command is look to Jesus. Again, don't forget the metaphor being used here. The metaphor as a runner. And forerunners, for them to be able to finish strong, their focus is always to reach the finish line. That's the goal. To be able to cross the finish line. And for this section, the exhortation of the writer of Hebrews for the Jewish believers is for them to look to Jesus, to make Jesus as their focus. So even though the author already mentioned the heroes of faith in chapter 11, here the author now gives the best and the perfect example of a life of faith. And that's no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that's now his exhortation. You have seen the crowd of witnesses surrounding us, but look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And going back to the imagery of a runner who is focused in his race will always look at the finish line. He will not even look at the crowds cheering him on. He will not even look at the other runners he's competing with. Because even glancing at another runner will slow him down. That's why the exhortation of the author here is, fix your eyes on Jesus. I remember here the principle of object fixation. Are you familiar with object fixation? This happens to riders, to pilots, to drivers. Object fixation. Where they are looking at, that's the direction they go to. So look at a driver. When the driver gets distracted, even though the car is going that direction, because he is looking at that direction, eventually the car will go that direction. A pilot looking at another direction, eventually the plane will go that direction. Another thing that reminded me here is about tunnel vision. Like the horses, they have the blinders. Why? So that their sight will be focused, will be fixed on the direction, not on the things surrounding them. And that's the exact exhortation of the author here. To fix the eyes of the believers to no other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the best and the perfect example of a life of faith. And he continues to describe that. And going back to the text, looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, and the perfecter of our faith. The founder and perfecter of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is the founder, meaning he is the first, the leader, the originator, the pioneer of our faith. And if he's the pioneer of the faith, he is also pioneering the way for others to follow. He's the one who leads from the beginning. He is the founder of faith, means he is the trailblazer. He arrives at the destination where others, the believers, must also go. And he is not only the founder and the perfect, or he is not only the founder or the author of the faith, he is also the perfecter of faith, the consummator, meaning he is bringing the process to its finish. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Being the perfecter of faith means how Jesus brought the life of faith to its complete conclusion, submitting everything to his Father. Jesus lived in faith in every sin of his earthly life or in any situation of his earthly life. And going back to the text, looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, being the perfect example of the life of faith, endured the cross, despised its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because what he was looking at was the joy that was set before him. He was looking at the joy set before him. He was looking at what delighted his heart and the heart of the Father. He was looking at the goal that was set before him. Again, the imagery of a runner, focusing at the finish line. The runner having the finish line in mind and the reward in view. Jesus endured the cross because his eyes were fixed on the joy awaiting him. And what are the joy awaiting him? The joy of pleasing the Father. The joy of obeying the will of the Father. The joy of redeeming his people. The joy of exaltation. The joy of glory shared. And because these were the things that were set in his heart and in his mind, these things delighted his heart, he was able to endure the cross, despise its shame, and seated at the right hand of the Father. And we know what the cross is about. When he endured that, it means he persevered. He endured the cross steadfastly. We know that the cross is the most painful and humiliating execution, but the Lord Jesus endured it. Why? Because he wanted to obey the Father. Why? Because he wanted to save sinners like you and me. He did not escape it. He embraced it fully. He persevered even through unimaginable physical agony and spiritual weight. He bore the sin of sinners on that cross. On that cross, he experienced separation from the Father. That's why in Matthew 27:46, we know the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, why have you forsaken me? So on that cross, he experienced separation from his Father. On that cross, he experienced the wrath of God. That's why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, if you can take this cup away from me, but your will, not my will, be done. The cross is the symbol of the great exchange. The punishment that was meant for sinners was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can satisfy the holiness, the righteousness of the Father. And he imputed his righteousness upon us so that we may receive the mercy, the love, the grace of God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was looking at the joy set before him to obey his Father, to redeem sinners, he was able to endure the cross. He was able to despise the shame of this. And when we say despise, means to regard as insignificant. Crucifixion is not only very painful, it is very shameful. But the Lord despised its shame because of the joy set before Him. And the Lord is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The tense of this verb is, again, in the aorist tense, it's finished, it's completed action. The Lord is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's now sat down at the right hand of the Father. And for the Jewish believers, they understood this language because during that time, the high priest was not allowed to sit down until his task was finished. Jesus being the high priest seated at the right hand of the Father implies he has finished his work. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ declared it on the cross, "It is finished." He's at the right hand of the Father, declaring authority, honor, and power. At the right hand of the throne of God, he's sharing the sovereign rule of God over all the nations. So putting all those together, seated at the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus has taken his rightful place of supreme authority, sharing in the Father's reign. So after laying aside everything, the run is continuous until the end. How will the runner be able to finish until the end? Fix the eyes on the goal. For the Jewish believers to look to Jesus, to fix their eyes on Jesus. And the fourth command there is to consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. Let's now go to the last verse. Verse 3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider. This word means reckon. To deliberately reflect. To reflect on the endurance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did he endure? The hostility from sinners. He faced relentless opposition, rejection, violation from sinful humanity. Philippians chapter 2. He obeyed the Father even to the point of death. Death on the cross. He endured the hostility of sinners. And if you will read verse 3, it's a cause and effect verse. The Lord endured the hostility from sinners so that we now have the consequence of the action of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the consequence of the action of the Lord Jesus Christ? So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So remember, the writer is talking to the Jewish believers. He was saying to them, consider what the Lord Jesus Christ did. In the previous verse, he mentioned Jesus Christ is the perfect example of the life of faith. Consider him. Consider the hostilities that he experienced. Consider the pain that he experienced from sinners. Why? So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The writer was simply saying to them, what you are going through right now is nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. So if you think at this point in your race, you want to give up, consider Jesus so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And to conclude this, let's now bring this home. So, in the passage that we have looked at, the author of the Hebrews was writing for the Jewish believers. What was their situation? They were being persecuted. They were being pressured to go back to their old religious beliefs instead of believing in their newfound faith. So the author gave now, Christ Jesus is far way better than anyone, than anything else, chapters 1 to 10. Then chapter 11, he gives, these are the people of faith. They were faithful to God, and God honored their faithfulness. Therefore, the author now encourages them, you want to run the race of faith? He gave the four commands to lay aside. So if we will now apply this, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of the race of faith. You are signed up in that race. The tense of the laying aside is aorist, it's past tense. Before we run the race of sanctification, we must have laid aside any encumbrance already. But if up to this point in the race of our faith, we still have encumbrances in our lives, one lesson that the Lord is teaching us here is to examine our hearts. What encumbrances do we still have in our lives? Maybe for the new believers, we cannot yet let go of the old religious beliefs that we have. Many of us came from the Roman Catholic faith. Maybe we are still holding on to the doctrines of the Catholic faith. We are Filipino people, we are dictated by culture, by superstitions. Sometimes I'm amazed when I go to funerals because during funerals, there are so many superstitious beliefs that come out. You are not allowed to bring the guests out. You are not allowed to sweep the floor. You are not allowed to let your tears drop. Are we controlled by superstitious beliefs? Are we controlled by old religious beliefs? Are we controlled by our old self? Are we controlled by sin? Are we controlled by compromise? Are we controlled by the lack of faith in our God? The race that we are in is a race of endurance. The race is not easy. What are the things that hinders us in running this race of endurance faithfully? Whatever the Lord is showing you right now, let's bring them to repentance. Let's bring them to repentance. We are in the race. We must stay in the race faithfully. When can we stop the race? When we reach the finish line. When will the race of sanctification end? When we will be with the Lord in heaven. But while we are here on earth, we are part of that race of sanctification. And we must run the race faithfully. And how can we run the race faithfully? Fix our eyes on Jesus. Because He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross for you and for me. He despised the shame for you and for me. Now He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is our head. And because He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are the body, the church is the body, soon we will be with Him. Because as the head, hindi pwedeng humiwalay ang head sa body. And vice versa. Fix your eyes on Jesus. This is very important because many times we are distracted with things around us. Maybe you have heard some believers say, I got stumbled with one brother or one sister in church. Maybe you stumbled because you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus. You want to walk faithfully your race of sanctification? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It does not mean that we must not help our brethren. We will help them. We will rebuke them if need be. But our race must be focused on Jesus. We want to finish this race faithfully. And we want to hear as we cross the finish line, good and faithful servant from no other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are tempted to give up in this race, the last point, think it through. Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. It says in the last part there, consider Jesus who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself. Don't forget the last clause. So that you may not grow weary. Even in our race of faith, there will be trials, there will be testings. There will be times that we will stumble. But we must rise. Consider Jesus. Consider all the things that He has done for us so that we will not grow weary, so that we will not give up. So I pray that the passage that we have studied this morning, I know this was already preached by Pastor Atong before, if you remember. But since no one was reacting about it, I think you forgot already the preaching of Pastor Atong. It's high time for us to be refreshed by the word of the Lord. So today we will not have any partnership, but what I want you to do is stand right now and let's allow the Lord to search our hearts. Remember that all of us are called in the race of faith, in the race of sanctification. Once again, let's allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Is there still any encumbrance, any destruction, any weight, any sin, anything that causes us to stumble in our race, that causes us to slow down in our race of faith, in our race of sanctification? It may be an attitude. It may be a sin situation in our life. It may be a vice that we cannot let go of. Maybe it's an old religious belief that we still hold on to. Maybe it's a superstitious belief that when we believe in that, we neglect the sovereignty of God in our lives. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's being judgmental to others. Maybe it's an attitude of holier than thou, that we now pull down other brethren. Let's bring them to the Lord. Let's lay them aside. We cannot continue the race of faith with all these encumbrances surrounding us. Lord, we come to you. Forgive us. Cleanse us. Change us. Make us like your Son, Jesus, who endured the cross, who was faithful in all aspects of his earthly life, because his desire was to glorify you, to magnify you. And Lord, as we run the race of faith, help us to run with endurance. The race of faith is not a sprint, Lord. It's a race of endurance. Help us to finish strong. Help us to cross the finish line and hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, in this race, help us to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith, that we will not focus our attention to anyone or anything else. We will fix our eyes on you. And Lord, when we are getting weary because of this race of faith, when there are trials, when there are testings, that we feel like throwing the white towel in already, that we would like to surrender and give up in this race of faith, help us consider Jesus. Help us consider Jesus, who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Lord, burn this message in our hearts. It is our desire, Lord, to glorify you in our lives up to the last breath. May you find us, may you find this church faithful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And Father, as we give back to you through our tithes and offering, be glorified even in our giving. Even in our giving, let this be an act of faith, knowing that you will accomplish all your purposes in this church, for you are sovereign. Thank you, Lord, for how you are so gracious in providing all our needs. And for those who will be giving today, Lord, we pray that you will bless them 100-fold. Father, as we be dismissed in this place, let your blessing be upon us. As we have the week ahead of us, guard our walk. May you be glorified in all the things that we will be doing. We love you. We bless you. We thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.